LT, for fun, who is your selection? Who is winning the draft lottery coming up in about a half an hour from now? Or at least
well,
starting?
Well, since my daughter is a fan of this team, I will say the Ottawa Senators win.
Oh, everybody's going with the Sens because they have two picks.
Eh? Yeah.
Really living on the edge, you guys. You and Connor and Button. Oh, geez. The guys living really on the edge.
Look,
what's the next
thing
you're going to say? Hey, guys, I think Leon Draisaitl's going to win the regular season scoring title. Jeez. Come on.
Well, look, if you already asked Button, what the hell are you asking me for?
Well, I'm asking everybody. I'm just curious. But right now, Stridy was anybody but Ottawa.
Yeah.
So,
passed him over him in the draft.
They were in there, yeah. No, it was more, he's not a Eugene Melnyk fan. Not a Eugene
Melnyk
fan.
Hey, that's just good taste.
Yeah. Now, the NHL, the draft lottery is a fascinating thing because, like, to me, I just want one of the three, and selfishly two, but one for sure to come from 8 to 15 because then it just makes the second lottery even more exciting to watch to see that, you know, we could have a good team, like a really good team potentially get one of the top three picks this year. Some people might not like it, but it adds to it. With the NBA announcing their start games on TV, their whole schedule today, NHL training camps, Al, would be starting 2 weeks from today. What's your expectation and what's your thoughts on playing in Vegas with all of the coronavirus numbers increasing? Is that a risk by the NHL? Should they be doing a U-turn right now?
For all the things that I know, and I admit I don't know all the elements involved, it sounds like a bad idea. Now, the NHL has said right from the start that they could, you know, put the bubble in there and be comfortable with it. I just think that if you, like, let's just say you put the bubble in Edmonton, even if there's COVID about, it's not so prevalent as it is in Vegas. So, you know, there's two things. If you want to, you know, keep something out, you know, if you got foxes near the hen house, if there's three instead of 400, you probably got a better chance. And I just feel like Vegas, in fact, I think they're going right now into what is the most difficult time for that city and for some American cities. So I think, you know, maybe Toronto and Edmonton is a better idea. I don't know if they'll do it, but the NHL has said all along they can put it in anywhere and be comfortable. I sure hope they are because it doesn't sound like a good idea.
It seems a little odd to me, no question about that. I found out today, Al, that the NHL is, and I've been talking about this for a few weeks, but I got a text from someone because obviously he's read some of the stuff that I was writing. And the NHL is now looking at potentially when they come back and play that you could see five games a day between the two hubs instead of six. So like three games in one hub, two in the other, then the next day it would reverse. So because the seeding games only need three each team. Right. And the series are best of fives. So you could spread that out a bit and alleviate and maybe get you some better television, which to me makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. This is, you know, this is the way I understand networks. They've spent a lot of money. They've given a lot of money to the NHL and that the NHL and PA will split up. So they're just trying to claw back whatever they paid for and didn't get through the regular season and the playoffs. So I'm sure that the networks are going to have a lot of input about, you know, who's playing and when. So I'm going to expect Toronto to play in prime time, Boston to play in prime time, Vegas, I would imagine, will play in prime time. And not just, you know, not just the Canadian network, but the American network will have a lot of input into it as well. And that means for Edmonton that Chicago and Edmonton probably gets a pretty good prominent time.
That's a valid point, although yeah, I wonder if they switch them around too, but it is interesting. Chicago's a pretty big market, and then the Oilers have the two leading scores, right? So there is that intrigue, although I've also heard that the qualifying round, Al, is more so going to be about regional rights than necessarily national rights because it's not necessarily playoffs, right? Like, it's playoffs, but it's not playoffs, you know? So they're trying to appease some of those regional markets, which does make sense.
Yeah, and that's a great point you make because they're – well, there were 71 games in the Oilers were, I think. So if you, in some of those American cities or town, like Raleigh, for instance, or whatever, you're getting the local establishment closer to 82. Maybe it ends up being 74. But that's, again, you're getting closer to being whole, and then you don't start next year in as much of a hole. Like, this is all, some of the ratings on these games could be mammoth. I'm not saying they will be, but some of these early high interest games, it could be like, if you're setting up five a game, for instance, it could be a little bit like the when they're going to the Final Four in March Madness, where the first, I would say, 2 days of that are absolutely nuts. I don't get sleep during those, and I'm cheering for Wake Forest near, against Gil Hooley, I don't even know who the teams are, but it's an exciting game, and I'll flip from one channel to another. The ratings could be very good, especially if one of those local teams catches fire, so it makes sense from that point of view.
Al Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, joins us. Al, we know that Broberg's coming, and he'll be arriving this weekend. So the Oilers have 15 forwards on their roster. They have 8 defensemen. Now you add Broberg, that's 24. So there's 4 spots left of the 28 to bring to camp. If Lagesson and Benson and Bouchard are the 3, who do you think is the 4th to come?
Lagesson, Benson.
Benson and Bouchard.
Okay, jeez. It probably would be... I mean, we're already counting the goaltenders, right? So Skinner.
Yeah, well, goalies you can bring whoever, so they don't count. Yeah.
So I will say, wow. Josh Curry is good. Gambardella's good. Malone has done a lot of penalty killing. Maybe you'd want a center. It's tough. There's a lot of talent down there. I don't think a guy like Maximov has done enough. It depends on if they think the guy's going to play. But I'll say Josh Curry. He can do a lot of different things.
Okay, because I'm wondering if they go with... Because, A, the AHL might not be playing to start... Well, there's very little chance they're playing to start the season. So the guy I'm going to bring in is a young player who I think has a chance to play in the future, and I don't want him out of hockey for 10 straight months. I'm going to bring in Ryan McLeod.
Oh, yeah. That's a good pick. Absolutely a good thing. Good speed. His first year, as you recall, he was a late exit from training camp because his speed was so good. He played at least one extra preseason game. I think he might have gotten 3, and because of his speed, he was so noticeable. But I think that's a guy who, I'm not saying he's going to make the team in the 2021 training camp, but I think we could see him here next year. He is, I've seen some of his Bakersfield games, and he's really noticeable. He played some wing, and I think it's easier for him to create some offense off the wing in Bakersfield, but man, he is noticeable even among NHL players when he's playing. He's a really fast train.
LT, have yourself a great evening. And there's a live hockey event. I know
yes.
It's not actual games, but a live NHL event tonight, starting right after the conclusion of our show. Perfect timing for us. So we'll all be watching together. Enjoy it, and we'll see if you're right, Al. You're taking the Ottawa Senators.
Go Ottawa, and for their next owner, just to appease Struts.
Yeah.